All right, everything's running. Lord willing, no technical difficulties. If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just going to read two verses, verses 9 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 says this, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." I've entitled this message, "Appointed to Obtain Salvation." And I called it that for a specific reason, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But Paul stated here, now this is the beginning of chapter 5, Paul stated that he was not writing to these Thessalonians of the times and the seasons, because you don't need anybody to write to you of that stuff. You know why? The day of the Lord is coming. And of that day, no man knows. No one knows when, because that day comes as a thief in the night. And that day, he says this, will not overtake you as a thief. How? Why? Paul states it. Verse 5, "Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Then Paul switches from here. From there, you to we here in verse 9. We, at one time, were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Now in Christ, ye are not of darkness. Why? Because believers, those who know Christ, are of the light. And he is the light. We are of him. How is this? Paul answers in verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul starts off this verse with a negative. Then he'll go to the positive. First thing, first point is always, everything starts with God. For God hath not appointed. Now, I make appointments, you make appointments, we make plans. You ever watch Blackadder? He has many cunning plans. It doesn't matter. What God does is the only thing that matters. For God, in this case, he's telling us what God hath not done. Starting off with a negative in this verse. Because it's okay. This is actually a good negative to have. He hath not appointed you to wrath. He's telling these believers that. This is a letter to believers, not to unbelievers. This is a letter to the church of God in Jesus Christ. This is not a letter to the world. They want to preach it like it's preached to the world, but these words are not for the world. These words are for those who believe. As always. This is something God has not done. He hath not appointed, and this is where Paul, us. Paul put himself in here too. See, before this, you were in darkness. You were You were not in darkness. You're now in the light. You are here. You are there. But here, when we get to this, Paul says, this is us. Because apostle or believer, in this case right here, doesn't make any difference. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now, what does this word appointment mean? Well, I found another verse where it uses the exact same word. That's Acts 20 and 28. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Where's it? Hath made? That's the same word here, appointed. To be appointed means that God hath made you. That's what it means. Hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He had appointed these men to be overseers. The other words, he's got it in the definition, to put, to make, to laid, or laid on, set forth, and here's another word, ordained. This word is translated ordained. God hath not made you to wrath. The Most Holy God is not angry with believers. And that's what the word wrath means. God's angry with the wicked every day. But he's not angry with you if you believe. That's what Paul's writing. He's angry with the wicked every day. The Old Testament hasn't gone anywhere. The Old Testament's still here. He is angry with the wicked every day today. But he has not appointed you to wrath. He has not appointed us to wrath, including himself. He is not angry with believers. What a blessing! What a mercy! What grace! Now, what about that verse? What verse? Oh, you know what verse. It's Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Yeah. Years ago, Earl corrected me on this verse. We were talking, and I mentioned it. And he said, no. And I said, what? And he said, no. It's amazing how Earl would repeat himself, you know. He told me, and he was right. I'm not, you know, I needed to be corrected. I was using it in a bad reference, is what I was doing. And he corrected me, quite rightly so. Because he told me, he says, we were by nature the children of wrath. And that's what it says. It doesn't say we were the children of wrath just like them. It doesn't say that. We were in our nature just like them. Our depraved nature is no different than the depraved nature of unbelievers.
Right.
There is no difference. Because we were just like the others, wrathful persons, living in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And Paul even put it this way, and of the mind. You know your mind's just as depraved as your flesh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, your mind's right in here.
That's right.
It's part of your flesh.
Yeah. Amen.
It's just as depraved. And it said, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He does not call us the children of disobedience. He says we were just like them. And here Paul writes, God hath not appointed us to wrath. And here's my point here. He never has.
Right.
He never has. We'll get to it. But by nature, we're just like them. We were just like them. The natural state of the believer was no better than the natural state of the unbeliever. However, Paul clearly states, we, those who believe, were not appointed, were not made to be, were not ordained to wrath by God. That's the negative. But like I said, it's not a bad negative to be under. You don't want to be appointed to wrath. But Paul never states the negative without stating the positive. And he puts in that one little word, but. But to obtain salvation. That word but is put there to separate that negative from that positive. We started with something God has not done, and now we're going to start with what God has done. Past tense. We are still referring back to, actually, not appointed. So this, from that phrase, is what we have been appointed to. We have been appointed to obtain salvation. Now, this is where it's going to get a little tricky. And if I hope I can get this across, I don't know, because it's a fine point, but I really think it's important, because see, I know people try to grab hold of this word, like they do that children of wrath thing, by nature of the children of wrath. They grab hold of this word. See, you have to go out and obtain salvation. That's what's taught. You know it is. You've been there. I've been there. It's on television right now, even as we speak. You have to go and obtain salvation. You have to get saved. Okay? So I looked up this word. Now, I fully expected to look this word up and see that it was a passive verb where you don't do any of the action. Because that's the way, if you ever study it in the scriptures, and if you're looking at the Greek a little bit, you have passive verbs and you have active verbs. Okay, when you look at salvation in the New Testament in the Greek, it's active when God's working.
Amen.
When God does something. And when we do something, even believers, when believers do something having to do with salvation, it's passive. Because we don't do it. He works in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. But I was surprised when I looked at this word. This word obtain is not a verb at all. It's not an action. Passive or active. It's a noun.
Amen. That's right.
Which really surprised the dickens out of me, because when we think of stuff, you know, when we think of obtaining something, we think we have to actually go and get it. But the actual word here is a noun. And I found a couple other verses that use this exact same word, so I put them down here. And here's what it means. In Ephesians 1:14, it uses it in this way. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of His glory. The word purchased possession is that same word obtain. Now in 1 Peter 2:9, and this is Woos version because I like this. But as for you, you are a race chosen out, king priests, a set apart nation, a people formed for possession. In order that you might proclaim abroad the excellency of the one who out of darkness called you into participation in His marvelous light. Young's literal translation says, we are, in that same verse, 1 Peter 2:9, we are a people acquired. We are the acquisition of Jesus Christ. And that's what that word where it says, obtain salvation. Here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing that when he writes, they translated to obtain salvation, it means that now we actually have as a possession the salvation of Jesus Christ. And we were appointed to have as a possession our Lord Jesus Christ's salvation. We've been appointed to this. This is a continuation of that previous phrase, and Paul includes himself in this. It doesn't matter whether you're an apostle, doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, doesn't matter whether you're a believer. God has appointed you to have the possession of the salvation which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't go get this salvation. He gives it.
Amen. That's right.
We don't go obtain this salvation as an action, but we do possess it. We do possess this salvation. Why? Because He gave it to us. We receive it. Not because we go out and get it. We receive it because He gave it to us. It's a gift. This salvation is ours. And this salvation, we have been appointed unto it. I want to read another scripture to you. 1 Peter 1 and 2. Elect. 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 We like that word around here. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. We are chosen according to God's foreknowing of you. And you have been appointed to possess salvation. Unto obedience. Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. If you believe, you were appointed to His salvation. That's grace unto you. That's grace unto you. And of course, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, what? Chosen you to salvation. To salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God chose you from the beginning to salvation. Through the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. And yes, that is the correct order. There's no believing without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's no faith without the Holy Spirit. We don't have a divine spark in us and we have to fan it up, okay? All men have not faith. That's why we are persecuted.
That's right.
Because all men don't have faith. Because those that don't have faith hate the Lord of light.
Mm-hmm.
And those that hate the Lord of light hate you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hate me.
Yep.
Faith is the gift of God. But God chose you from the beginning to salvation. And guess what? Paul writes here, you've been appointed to possess that salvation. To have in your possession this salvation. To have it as a possession. We're to hold on to this salvation. His salvation. We're to hold on to Him. Because He is our salvation.
Amen.
We don't get saved. We, believers, are saved. And there's a world of difference between those two words. A world of difference between getting saved and being saved. And if you don't believe, you have no claim to the salvation of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because, what's it say? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, what? By our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Salvation is by Jesus Christ. All salvation is by Jesus Christ. The only salvation is by Jesus Christ, and there is no salvation without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is there any other way to say that?
Nope.
Well, wait a minute. Salvation is by Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Alone. It's not by Jesus Christ and you. It's not by Jesus Christ and me. Is by Him. Salvation is of the Lord, because salvation is from the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. And we have been appointed to obtain salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, what? Be saved. Be saved. If Seth hadn't brought his guitar, we were going to sing this song. Jesus is our great salvation. Worthy of our best esteem. Why? He hath saved his favorite nation. Christ alone could us redeem. I like those words. I do. Then verse 10 says this, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Who died for us? Well, he just said, by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the who. Who died for us? Who died for us? Who died for us? You can emphasize each word individually. And emphasize all the words. Because our appointment, our being made to have His salvation as a possession, is only because He died for us. He died for us. His death was substitutionary and sacrificial. He gave His life. He shed His blood. In righteousness, in holiness, and in punishment for sins. Our sins. Because He died for us. He died for us. But His death has a direct result. And the one that Paul writes about here, that, it's a word of purpose, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Because His substitutionary death directly results in our life. We have life now. If you're a believer, you have life. If you don't believe, you got no claim on life right now. This is not talking about elect or non-elect. Elect or reprobate. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about believers and unbelievers. Because that's the only ones we can talk to. You can argue yourself blue in the face with unbelievers. I know. I've done it. You can argue them into a corner and use biblical logic and confound them. And guess what? It does absolutely no good. Never has, Mason. I found that out years ago by reading Martin Luther. His Bondage of the Will was a wonderful piece of literature and a good piece of truth. Excellent piece of truth. And it didn't do Erasmus a bit of good. That's whose letters he was answering.
Didn't change
a thing. No. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe.
That's right.
You can't leave that part off.
Separate
view. Oh, they want to say, oh, the gospel can break you down. No, no. God's got to break you down.
Amen.
And God's got to build you up.
Yeah.
And God's got to give you life. And God's got to give you faith. And then you will hear and you will believe and you will receive the gospel.
Yeah.
And not until. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. That's what the book says.
The
way it is. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, I can get Baptist with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. For we are his, what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I'm going to tell you this. A good work is believing in the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's, right.
That's a good work.
Yeah.
How do you do that? He'll put in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure.
Yeah.
We're his workmanship. We are his work. And guess what? We have been appointed to be his work. He chose us from before the foundation of the world. I know the world hates that, but that's their problem, not mine. I can't help them with that. All I can do is rejoice in it. Well, I'd like to help the world. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. But it ain't going to happen. I don't have enough money to buy them all coats. But yes, I'd like to see that. I'd love to see sinners get saved. But first you have to find somebody who knows they're a sinner.
That's right.
Because he's going to show you you're a sinner before he's ever going to make you a saint.
Amen. That's right.
And just because you're chosen in Christ Jesus, that don't mean you're going to go through life without ever knowing him. Because if you're chosen in him, he's going to bring you to himself.
Yeah.
He's bringing in many sons to glory.
Mm-hmm.
And giving God the glory as he does it. Why? Because they have been appointed to obtain salvation. I mean, it's all there. It's all there. Here, Paul talks about whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, our having life, our true life, the true life, is his life. And this also has to do with our living our life. In him, we move, we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
What? That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now this reference here where he's talking about wake or sleep, that's actually in reference to verses 6 through 8. He's talking about, therefore let us not sleep as do others, let us watch and be sober. Because a lot of times when he talks about sleep, he's talking about death, but not here. He's talking about, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. He's talking about the difference between being alert to the things of God or being asleep. Not watching. Not waiting, not being aware, not being alert. Our condition, our circumstance, doesn't affect this part here. We live together with him. Why? Because he died for us.
Amen.
He gave himself for us, and he has appointed us to possess this salvation. If you believe him, there's the qualifier. You have to fit the category before you can get the blessing. You have to be part of this us Paul's talking about, or he's not talking to you.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
The way it is.
I mean, I don't want to downgrade. I don't want to denigrate our walk. Our walk is important. It's vital. We are to have a walk, a good walk. But our walk doesn't change our appointment by God. God changes our walk. He does work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, you may not be very good at it, but you're going to walk.
Amen.
You may not be very consistent at it, but you're going to walk. And whether you wake or sleep, what? We live together with Him. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm slothful, oh yes.
Yep.
Even when I'm inattentive, yes. Even when I'm distracted by the world. Yes. Yes. Even when I'm rebellious.
Especially
then. Yeah. Thank God, yes. When I'm wrong. Yes. Even if I don't feel it. Yes. If you're a believer, we live together with Him.
Amen.
He's the constant, faithful one, not you. I'm not the constant, faithful one. He is.
Right.
It's not that I can get closer to Him. It's that He is in me.
Yeah.
Know ye not, ye are the tabernacle of God.
Yeah.
You've got His Spirit within you. He's with us every day. Whether we know it or not. And that's a blessing from Him. And this is the thing. We are together with Him. We live by Him. We live in Him. And we live with Him.
Amen.
We live and we move and we have our being. In Him. In Him. Because believers are together with Him. We live together with Him. We abide together, love together, walk together, and we gather together. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But He was in you before you got here.
Amen.
If you know Him. He was with you before you got here for this gathering. Because together with Him, all is life. Because He is life incarnate. Walter pointed this out to me last week after I said about what Paul wrote was that one coherent thought. It was a complete thought. It couldn't be separated apart. Walter pointed out to me when we were out there in between services, he said, God's thoughts are actions. And I said, oh my, that's right. It made me wish I'd said that when I was preaching. So I'm going to say it now. Because it's one of them things that just kind of hit me all at once. You know, it's something I already knew, but then you put it all together. Because God speaks and does exactly as God thinks. There's no variableness with Him, neither shadow of turning, right? God doesn't think one thing and say another. God doesn't say one thing and do another. No, that's us.
That's
us. I'll think one thing and say another, and it'll save my can more than once. I'll say something and then do another. And that's been to my shame more than once. But God's not that way. God's thoughts are His actions. He said this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. You know why? Because your thoughts aren't my thoughts. So your ways aren't my ways. Because His thoughts are exactly like His ways. And His ways are exactly like His thoughts. I believe Him. His thoughts and His ways are exactly the same, and mine are not. But, from this scripture here, Paul's, we, believers, have not been, and never have been, appointed to wrath, to anger, or to punishment. We believers have been. He did write this in the past tense. I did look at that. And always have been appointed to have as our possession the salvation of Jesus Christ. We have been chosen to and appointed to salvation by Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. Believers possess his salvation. And we have this possession, this salvation, only by our Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for us. We didn't earn it. We didn't get it. And we didn't go out and obtain it. We were appointed to this salvation, and we were given this salvation by God himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we have it because and only because he died for us. This is the thing the world doesn't quite understand. The only way to believe is to have been given faith. The faith of God's elect. The faith that Christ is the author and finisher of. It's his faith. That's the only way to believe is to be given faith. Now the only way to be given faith is by the Holy Spirit. The only way to be given the Holy Spirit is for him to come into you.
Amen. Right.
To be given life. And what does it say about the Holy Spirit? What did Christ say? He bloweth whithersoever he will. And you can't tell where he came from. And you can't tell where he's going. So is what? Everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's not true of everyone. But it's true of everyone that's born of the Spirit. The only way to be given faith, to be given life, is by the grace of God, which is in Jesus Christ, who died for us and gave himself for us, gave himself a ransom for many. Because all this comes to us by the appointment of God, who hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, what? That we be possessed by his salvation. And now, right now, in this time, we live together with him. You understand? I know you live in him. And our life is only in him. But we get to live with him. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's with you. But he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. He's in you now if you believe. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit. We do. But don't. We now get to live together with him because he died for us. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Be with Walter as he speaks. Bless all of your children with the hearing of your gospel. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.